This message is given in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. When I was young, I enjoyed watching various programs on TV. And every so often, I would tune into ABC's Wide World of Sports. And do some of you remember how that program would begin? They would play footage of various sporting events. And at one point during this footage, a voice would say, "The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat." But I recall that during that part of the statement, "agony of defeat," I would always turn away because there was a particular piece of footage that was very hard to watch. Maybe you remember what it was. There was this guy going down a very steep ski slope, then suddenly he loses his balance. He falls, he tumbles, he falls into people, he smashes into fences, he hits other objects, he rolls over and over again down the hill, and all I could think whenever I watched that was, wow, that guy must be in agony. Well, in our reading from 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul describes another kind of defeat that causes far greater agony than any sporting injury. Paul wrote these words, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law." You've maybe heard those words read at funerals. But what do they mean? What do these words have to do with the agony of defeat? Well, allow me to explain. We'll start with the second half of Paul's statement. The power of sin is the law. Now, what is the law? Well, Paul uses that word law to refer to God's will for our lives as summed up by the Ten Commandments. In fact, as many of the members here know, I've been preaching on the Ten Commandments during this Lenten season. And so when Paul says the power of sin is the law, he is actually saying that the Ten Commandments reveal the fact that we naturally rebel against God. In other words, the very commandments that we should obey, we actually rebel against. The Ten Commandments actually encourage us to sin because that's what our hearts want to do. But how did this happen? Aren't we humans basically good deep down? That's what we hear all the time from the media and other places. But you see, Scripture has a different message. According to the Bible, we are by nature evil. If you read earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul explains that we have inherited an evil nature from Adam, the first human. It all started in the beginning when God created the universe and all life. Adam and Eve were the first humans, and they were perfect in the beginning. And they were meant to live in God's love forever. But it didn't work out that way. The Bible teaches that one of God's angels rejected his place in God's loving plan, and this angel also tempted Adam and Eve to do the same. And they did. As a result, they no longer loved God or trusted Him. Their perfect life came crashing down, and this fall brought the agony of defeat to the whole world. That means all humans descended from them have been conceived with the same evil nature. And now we understand why God gave us His law. He didn't give us the Ten Commandments so that us basically good people could somehow keep them and prove ourselves worthy of God's love. No. God actually gave us His Ten Commandments to show us that we can't keep them, no matter how hard we try, because our hearts are at war with God. Deep down, we want to live as we please. You see, we not only break the Ten Commandments by the things we do and say, we also break the Ten Commandments with the desires of our heart. That's why God's Word teaches that greed is the same as idolatry, lust is the same as adultery, and anger is the same as murder. In fact, even the good things we do are evil in God's eyes because we have wicked motives. Sometimes we obey not because we love God, but because we fear His punishment. Other times we obey because we want to cut a deal with God, hoping He'll ignore some of the sins we like to do if we can just flaunt some of our good works in His face. And finally, we often obey simply because we want other people to notice how supposedly good we are. These are all examples of good things that we are doing for evil reasons. And so when Paul says the power of sin is the law, he means that God's law exposes how rebellious we really are. Therefore, those who think that obedience to God's Ten Commandments is the key to salvation from sin and death, well, such people only show that they have been utterly deceived by the same devil that tempted Adam and Eve in the beginning. And now we're ready to examine the first part of Paul's statement. The sting of death is sin. You see, the Bible teaches that physical death is the consequence of our sin against God. And that's why physical death stings. Because we must face the fact that physical death is what we deserve. However, physical death is not the worst of our problems. You see, as we learned during our Good Friday sermon, all people get to live forever. The question is, where and with whom will you live forever? When Christ returns on the final day, all humans will be resurrected. But unless something is done about our sin, we will live forever separated from God's love. That is what the Bible calls spiritual death. You see, spiritual death refers to the fact that we are unable to love God or trust Him. That's why unbelievers won't want to go to heaven. That's the last place they will want to be. They don't want to hang out with God in this life, so why should they want to hang out with Him for all eternity? Spiritual death, that's what we all have from Adam. Spiritual death means that we're separated from God and deserve nothing but His eternal wrath. And this spiritual death, my friends, is worse than any physical death. Death stings because we know that we deserve eternal life in hell and there's nothing that we can do about it. My friends, that is the agony of our defeat. But now, I have some tremendous good news. Get ready to hear about the thrill of victory. Paul goes on to write, "But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Did you hear that? Even though we sinners have fallen from God's grace, and even though we deserve the agony of defeat, God sent His only Son to give us the victory. And how did Jesus do that for us? Well, He did it by conquering three things. First, Jesus conquered our sin. You see, our real enemy isn't out there. The devil just loves it when we point the finger at somebody else. No, our real enemy is in here. Our own hearts that are opposed to God. And so the first thing Jesus conquered was our own sinful hearts. First, He did this by living the perfect life we could never live. He kept the Ten Commandments perfectly for us, and then He gives us His own holiness. In addition, Jesus suffered the spiritual death that we deserve when He took our sins to the cross and suffered God's wrath in our place. My friends, that's the message of Easter that we hear every Sunday. God loved us so much that He damned His own Son in our place, that through faith in Him, we might be set free from the agony of defeat and receive eternal victory. Second, Jesus also conquered our death. You see, even though Jesus' body died on the cross, His body conquered death when He rose from the grave on the first day of the week. And Jesus promises that those who repent and trust in Him can face physical death in the hope that God will bring our bodies back to life on the final day. However, for us believers, our resurrected bodies will be perfect and without sin. You see, even more than saving us from physical death, Jesus has also conquered our spiritual death. Jesus has given us new hearts that turn from sin and trust in God. Now that we have new hearts, we actually want to spend time with God, now and for all eternity. Jesus has given us new hearts that long for God's love and joyfully submit to His wonderful plan for our lives. That means that we Christians can look forward to eternal life with our one true love. And He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Finally, Jesus has conquered the devil. The fallen angel who tempted Adam and Eve and has kept all people in darkness, he will not be able to separate us from God ever again. Jesus has conquered the devil's lies. That means he will never be able to deceive us because now we have faith in God's Word given to us in Holy Scripture. Christians who believe that the Bible is God's inspired and inerrant word never have to be deceived again, because the Bible exposes the lies of the devil that come at us from a million different directions in this world. We now have the truth that sets us free, and we no longer need be deceived. But in addition, the devil will also not be able to accuse you before God. You see, that's the tricky thing about the devil. First, he gets us to sin. He pretends to be our friend and gets us to sin. But then once we do sin, then you know what the devil does? He rubs our face in our sin and he says, "Ha! Now that you're a sinner, God will want nothing to do with you." Well, the devil can't do that to us anymore. The devil cannot accuse us of our sin. The devil cannot tell God that he must punish us for our sin, because God has dealt with our sin once and for all when He put Jesus on the cross. Sadly, those who cling to their sin and turn away from Christ will spend eternity with the devil. But the good news is that when God convicts us of our sin and leads us to Jesus, we have nothing to fear, because He has conquered the devil's lies and He has conquered the devil's accusations against us through Christ's death and resurrection. So rejoice, my Christian friends. God has given you the victory. God has used His law to convict you of sin, yes, but then He has used His good news to give you faith in Jesus, your Lord and Savior, who has conquered sin, death, and the devil for you. But what does that mean now for the rest of our lives? For some people, Easter might be the only time they come to church. That's not what God wants for us. He wants our lives every day. In fact, every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. What does this now mean that we've been given the victory? Open your bulletin inserts again to the prayer of the day. Let's just read through this again and think about what it means. Follow along as I read the first part. O God, for our redemption, you have given your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by His glorious resurrection, you have delivered us from the power of our enemy. We've been given the victory. But now what does that mean for our everyday lives? Here's what we pray. Therefore, grant that all our sin may be drowned through daily repentance, and that day by day a new person may arise to live before you in righteousness and purity forever. Today, God's word for you is that you've been given the victory, and that means you get to live in your baptism every day, saying no to the desires of your sinful nature, and then rejoicing in the fact that you are forgiven and loved by God, and that you have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that means you get to live now and forever as God's new creation. But one more thing must be added. God isn't satisfied with having you only. He loves you, don't get me wrong. He's looking forward to spending eternity with you. But there's a lot of other people out there who are still lost in the darkness. God wants them too. So He calls us to be His witnesses. He calls us to bring that good news. That word about the agony of defeat, but also the thrill of victory. So that more people might be brought to their knees and then lifted up by the victorious message of the gospel. That same gospel that someone preached to us so that we are now saved, God will use us to give to others that they too might repent and believe in Jesus. What a wonderful mission we have here at Concordia Lutheran Church. Not only has Jesus given us the victory, but now we get to share that wonderful news with others. With that in mind, I would like to close this sermon with these words of Paul that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write. These words are as applicable to us today as they were for the Christians 2,000 years ago. Paul writes, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Amen.